There are two texts to this morning's message. We'll spend most of our time in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. But there's something in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 that is also very important about this topic of Christian children. So we've already had Christian wives, Christian husbands, and now this text is addressed to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And then turning over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything. So that's not in Ephesians 6. Obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. That also not in Ephesians chapter 6. So obey the, but I'll be making reference to both of those things. Now turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. The subject, Christian parents, raises some relevant questions for us to consider. The first question is, if you are born to Christian parents, does that make you a Christian? And the answer is no. So in the kingdom of God, you must be born again or you'll never enter the kingdom of God. And so every child is born under the curse of sin. And in order to be delivered from the curse of sin, he or she must repent of sin and receive the way of salvation that has been provided through Jesus Christ. So this is one of the things that separates us from people who baptize babies. Some of the people who baptize babies say that the baptism of the baby washes away sin, and that would be the Roman Catholic position, and that if a baby is baptized, then he or she is going to go to heaven. That's not the teaching of the Scriptures. And then there are others who would say that there is some way that babies are part of God's kingdom, and so they baptize babies, and later on the child has to embrace the profession of faith that was made when he or she was just an infant. But again, that's something that is not taught in the Scriptures. We practice baptism of believers, that is, people who have repented of sin and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that they and they alone are members of the kingdom of heaven. And so those are the only people that we baptize. Then another question that is raised is, what about babies? Are they okay for a certain period of time? So you sometimes hear this question asked, is there an age of accountability? Now that phrase is thrown around so casually that it's possible that we won't think about what it's asking. But the question is there an age, is there a period of time that a child is not accountable for his sins, and then at a certain age, when there is a certain recognition of what sin is and who God is, that child becomes accountable for his sin? That's the question. So those who teach an age of accountability will say there's a certain period of time when a baby is not accountable, and then at a certain age, sometimes they'll even put an age on it, like 12 years old, that the child becomes accountable for his or her sins. And again, that is something that is not taught in the Scripture. So there is nothing in the Bible that talks about an age of accountability. And then that leads to a third question, which is related to that. Do babies who die in infancy go to hell? And this, again, I have to say, is an issue that is not addressed in the Bible. And so my position on that is one of optimism, but I confess that it's one of optimistic ignorance. Here's the thing. The only hope that anyone has for going to heaven is if Jesus pays for that person's sin. And according to the Bible, those who can be assured that Jesus has paid for their sins are those who have received Christ. So when my children were little children and they asked me, usually right before they were going to bed, Daddy, if I die, am I going to go to heaven? My answer was always something like this. The Bible teaches that people who receive Jesus go to heaven. And so you should pray that you will receive Jesus and pray to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Since the Bible is ignorant, is quiet about it, and I'm ignorant about it, and so are you, then I think that that is the safe answer that you ought to give to your little children. Now, I think that there are hopeful indications that babies who die in infancy may be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. People who criticize those of us who hold to the doctrines of God's sovereign grace say, you people believe that babies go to hell. Well, I've been around people who believe in the doctrines of grace my entire life, and I have only known one or two people who thought that maybe babies went to hell. For the most part, people who hold to the sovereignty of God don't believe that. There may be some. Be that as it may, here's the truth. The only hope that a baby has of going to heaven is the pure sovereign grace of God. Because a baby cannot make a decision for Jesus. And a baby is not innocent. Some people would try to make that assertion. But the Bible teaches that from the moment that a human baby is conceived, it is a sinful child. And so the only hope that babies have is the pure sovereign grace of God. Here is where I come down and rest. God will do what is right. And we can trust God to do what is right. The secret things belong to the Lord. The things that have been revealed belong to us and to our children, but the secret things belong to the Lord. And it is best for us not to be overly dogmatic about issues concerning which the Scriptures say nothing or very, very little. At another time, then, I may give you my reasons for why I am optimistic about the salvation of children, but not today. Instead, let's get into this text, which is relevant not just for the children who are living at home, but also for children of all ages, children especially who have parents who still are living. Jesus teaches us, we read in Matthew chapter 15 a few minutes ago, that adult men and women had the responsibility of honoring their father and their mother, and there's a particular way that they were to do that, which is relevant for all of us who still have parents living. Now, there are three things that I want us to see from this text here in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll be making reference to what it says in Colossians chapter 3. The first thing is obey, second point is honor, and the third point will be a few observations of application. So first of all, let's look at what it says here to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So children, obey means that you do what your parents tell you to do. In Colossians, it says, obey your parents in everything. And so, let's add that in. You obey your parents in everything that they tell you to do. Notice next that it's not just your dad that you are supposed to obey. There are some families where the dad is the disciplinarian, and the mom, the children don't fear her discipline so much, or for some reason the father has made the dreadful mistake of allowing the children to think that they can disrespect their mother, but they've got to obey him. No, fathers. You must make sure that your children understand that the Bible teaches you are to obey your mother as well as your father. The fifth commandment is honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Sometimes I'm sure that you have heard dads brag saying, the kids disrespect and talk sassy to their mother, but they don't dare do it to me. A man should not brag like that. Something is amiss in the chain of command. so that you make it clear to your children, you're not just to obey me. When you disobey your mom, you are disobeying me, and the consequences are going to be the same. Notice what it says next. Obey your parents, that's mom and dad, in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Obey them in the Lord. Well, if you are a Christian child, then this means that you are part of the Lord. The Spirit of Jesus lives in you, and it's the will of the Lord that you should obey your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord. This also indicates that while Colossians chapter 3 says, obey your parents in everything, it doesn't mean if they tell you to do something that is sinful. But I imagine that all the children who are listening to this are never going to have the experience of your parents telling you to rob a bank or to steal something or to deliberately tell a lie. Your parents, who are Christian parents, want you to obey the Lord. But if anyone is not in that situation and you have parents who are trying to involve you in something that is wrong, then you have the right to disobey them in the Lord. Your first act of responsibility is to the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. You are part of the Lord. You are bringing honor to the Lord when you obey your parents. Remember what it says in Colossians chapter 3? Obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. I don't know if it's ever occurred to you. If you want to please the Lord, one of the ways that you can do that is by obeying and honoring your parents. Now, what's the flip side of that? If you don't obey your parents, then it's displeasing to the Lord. And that leads us into the next phrase here in verse 1. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Even nature teaches you that it is appropriate that you should show honor to your parents. Cultures that have no desire to obey the commands of Jesus still recognize that this is a duty that is incumbent on all children, that they should obey and honor their parents. You should honor your parents because it is right. You should honor your parents because they are the ones who feed you and clothe you and educate you, and you ought to show appreciation because it is right that you should obey and honor your parents. So that's what the Bible has to say about obey. Do what they say. Do everything that they say. Do it as soon as you possibly can. And do it to honor the Lord. If there is something that rises up inside of you and says, he's being mean, daddy's being mean, mom's being mean, then just remember this, obey in the Lord and bring honor to the Lord. God's not being mean to you, and God has placed you in the home in which you are and given you the responsibility of obeying your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Now let's move on and see what this passage has to say about honor. Honor your father and mother. Now what does it mean to honor someone? Well, the first thing is you speak well of them and you avoid speaking ill of them. So I know it's a temptation when you get together with your siblings or with your friends and you feel like you've been mistreated, that you just kind of start criticizing mom and dad and telling them, telling your friends, telling your brother and sister what a hard life you have. And that's not honoring. If you honor someone, you speak honorably of them. If you honor someone according to Jesus, then you respect their well-being and their finances. Yeah, so often, well, I can think of at least twice, so that's not very often, but at least twice in the Bible, honor is connected with finances. So it says concerning elders, the elders who serve well are worthy of double honor. And it's talking about paying your teacher, preacher well, which you do. Thank you. But Jesus also connects honor with the responsibility of making sure that your parents are taken care of. I can just imagine what might have happened in the days leading up to what we read from Matthew chapter 15, that Jesus perhaps encountered an older couple who was destitute and really in danger of starving to death, and maybe he instructed Judas, who was the keeper of the money bag, to give this couple something, and then Jesus went and he talked to them. And he said, why are you in such dire straits? And they said, well, you know, I'm old now. The father says, I'm old and I can't dig anymore and I'm not able to farm anymore. And Jesus says, well, don't you have a son or a daughter who could help to take care of you? Oh, yes, we have a son. We're very proud of him. He's one of the chief Pharisees. He is so well respected. Well, what does he do? Oh, he's done so well in life. We are so proud of him. He's really quite wealthy. Well, why doesn't he help you? Oh, well, our son, he's such a holy man. He's dedicated a significant portion of his income to God. And so the money that would otherwise have come to us, he gives it to religious causes. He's such a good boy. And then Jesus has got that echoing in his head when he confronts these Pharisees, and they say, hey, how come your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat? Something that's not even in the Bible. How come your disciples don't wash their hands before you eat? And Jesus says, well, I got a question to ask you. How come you set aside the commandments of God for the traditions of men? Because there are some of you who don't take care of your parents. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. And if you don't do that, you know what the Bible says is supposed to happen to you? Stoned, baby. I added the baby part. You want to be particular about that? Why don't we be particular about that? But some of you say, well, I would help my poor old mommy and daddy, but, you know, all my extra money is given to the temple. And so, sorry, Mom and Dad, I hate for you to go hungry. We've all got to make sacrifices for the kingdom's sake, you know. Jesus says, no, you are observing whatever you want to observe, things that will make you look good. But then you neglect your poor old mommy and your daddy. Now, both of my parents are in glory. Many of you also, your parents are long in the grave, long in glory, but many of you still have parents who are alive. And I know that sometimes it is necessary to secure the services of someone who is able to make your father or your mother more comfortable than you are able to do and take care of them more if they require medical care. But just let that be a last resort. Do your best to take care of your mother and your father. That is a way that you show honor to them. And that's for people who are grown up, 40, 50, 60 years old, who still have parents. That make sure that your mom and dad are taken care of. And for you children who are still living at home, let me make the connection there. You are not taking care of your mom and dad, but you can still honor them by the way that you show respect for the possessions that they have, so that you don't waste their resources, that you don't turn up the thermostat too high when he's told you to leave it low. So that you show appreciation for the resources that your parents are the people on earth who are most disposed to help you. There are exceptions, and some of you had parents who did not treat you that way. But most of us had parents and who were really eager that we would do well and eager that we would succeed. And so it's just smart that you would obey and honor the people who are most disposed and usually most capable of helping you to get along well in life. Now here's a parable for the little children. There once was a little boat who was tied up to a dock. And every day a man would get the little boat and take the boat out and catch fish. But every night he would come back and he would tie the little boat to the dock. And the little boat thought to himself, I wish that I could wander around a little while during the day. I get so tired of this man fishing out of me, and I think that I'm big enough that I can trust myself on this river. And one night, the little boat was able to slip the rope off, and he went drifting down the river. Well, that very night, there came a big rainstorm, and the river got out of its banks, and the little boat was smashing up against trees, and then finally wrecked on some rocks, and there was just a heap of boards that were left where the little boat once had been. And there are times when little children think, I am tired of being tied up to my parents. I'm tired of them telling me what to do, and I can do so much better if I just go out on my own. But your parents are trying to keep you from running into the rocks of shipwreck. Your parents are trying to help you. So honor your father and your mother. It's a commandment that comes with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, all of us can think of dutiful children who died young. This is a promise of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good to all such as keep this commandment. So sometimes God in his wisdom sees to it that a very obedient and dutiful child will die while he's still just a child. Or that maybe that child will die in a time when everyone says, oh, she was so young, he was so young. So this doesn't mean that if you are an obedient, honoring child, that you're guaranteed to live to be 100 years old and be rich. But this is a general principle that often proves to be true. And I think that this is true not just for you as an individual child, it also is true for a culture. That a culture that cultivates obedience to parents and honoring parents is a culture that is likely to survive a long time and be stable and prosperous. But that a culture that allows rebellion, a culture that encourages rebellion and disobedience, is a culture that is on its way out. In fact, twice in the scriptures, disobedience to parents appears in a surprising list of sins that we would consider to be horrible sins. You read about murder and stealing and all of this, and then disobedient to their parents, it says in Romans chapter 1. Also in the book of 2 Timothy, the same thing. In the last days, there will be people who are all these bad things and then disobedient to their parents. In fact, Romans chapter 1 indicates that a culture in which there is widespread, accepted disobedience to parents is a culture that God has given over to a depraved way of thinking. Well, it doesn't take very long either. Many of us in this room are old enough to remember when disobedience to your parent was something that was certain to meet with a severe consequence. Not just Christian families either, but the disobedience to your parents was certainly going to wind up in some kind of discipline, often a spanking, maybe being grounded. And then in the last 40, 50 years, we have seen that change drastically in our own culture. And I'm afraid that it bodes ill for our culture. You know, The United States of America has never been more prosperous financially, but there have never been so many people who are subject to depression. There have never been so many people who go to sleep in danger, feeling like their lives are endangered by crime. So there is a lot of things, a lot of results in our culture that I think can be traced back to this. I meant to mention divorce as well. during those in the early 1960s, when I was in grade school, there may have been one boy in my class of 30 whose parents were divorced. I suspect that they were never married, but all the rest of us had two parents, and they never divorced. And I would say that if you go into the average first grade class today in a public school, probably half the children in that classroom are going to come from homes where their parents are divorced. It's amazing how that we think that we are so smart, and yet there has never been a generation in the United States that is so divorce prone and so prone to depression and to other ills. And I think a lot of it can be traced back to this, that our culture no longer insists children obey your parents and honor your parents, and that we're suffering the consequences for that. Now, here are some points of application to conclude. We've seen what it means to obey. We've seen what it means to honor and some of the benefits that flow from that. It pleases the Lord. Now, let's close with thinking about some of the points of application. The first point of application that I want to make is that the Bible here addresses children expecting you to be able to understand. It doesn't say, parents, teach your children to obey. It's directed to children. And so I think that there were children present in the congregation at Ephesus. I think that there were children present in the congregation at Colossae. And so we want to encourage you, as soon as you possibly can, have your children in the service. And if there's a little bit of feistiness that goes on, I urge the rest of you, don't turn around and look at who's crying. So, you know, the mom is already embarrassed enough about that. Let's all work together and say, we're trying to cultivate a church where children, as soon as possible, are included in the service. Because most children get saved under the preaching of the word. I want children to be present so that they can hear the preaching of the word. And I hope that 5 or 10 minutes of what I say is comprehensible to a child who is old enough to sit still and sit in the church services. So children were present. Children are responsible. The Lord expects you, children, to do this. This is a way that you show that you are a real Christian. Jesus says, you don't obey the things that you don't want to obey, and you just obey the things that you do want to obey. I know that being a child and having to obey your parents all the time is not always easy. Sometimes it's downright difficult. But if you belong to the Lord, then He will give you the ability to obey your parents the way that He wants you to. And it's a way that you can show honor to the Lord by obeying your parents. Maybe you don't have the Spirit of the Lord. Maybe that's why it's so hard for you to submit to the authority of your parents. In that case, what you should do is you should pray. Even right now, while you're hearing these words, pray and say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the rebellion that you have revealed to me because I persistently disobey my parents. And I repent. I repent of that sin. Help me to change. Help me to do better. Some of you may be laden with guilt at the way that you lived your life when you were at home and the disrespect that you showed to your mom and your dad. Maybe you need to repent of that. Does it bother your conscience? Then take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord and say, I ought to have shown greater honor to my parents than I did. I'm guilty of that and many other sins, and my only hope is if you save me by your mercy. Reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to me that I might receive him and trust in him and live for him all my days. Jim Bob, come and lead us in a concluding hymn.